News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Women are currently completely absent from 40% of critical government decision-making tables, including health and the COVID-19 national response. Earlier on, Shane Beattie spoke to Catriona Gleeson, the new CEO of Women for Election, on Breakfast Briefing, who discussed the main barriers for women entering politics.
We have quotas in place, so there is a requirement now in general elections for there to be a minimum of 30% of women selected. But what we found in the last general elections particularly was that women weren't being put in winnable seats, and there was a significant amount of inter-party rivalry and non-support for women once they were selected, because party members may have had preference for other candidates to have been selected. We do not have maternity leave for female politicians. And then the other area we're seeing a lot of is the online abuse and the misogyny and racism that are both reducing chances of women running and also reducing the chances of women staying in politics.
For more on this, we're joined by Regina Doherty, Senator and former Minister for Social Protection. Regina, does this resonate with you? You're one of the few women that has broken that glass ceiling and been elected to Dáil Éireann. Is it harder for women to become a TD than men?
Morning, Ciara, and thanks for having us on. And I think I just want to thank Women for Election for doing the survey and then producing the report, because what's interesting is that the barriers that existed 10 and 20 years ago haven't gone away. And now we're adding more to the long list of things that women have to face. I think the first issue is putting women on the ticket and putting them in winnable seats. And that does cause a problem for political parties, particularly ones that have had men in constituencies for many, many years. And so it's far easier for a party that's smaller and growing to organically put women on the ticket, because you're not displacing anybody. But for parties are going to have to struggle, particularly for the next election when our quota goes up to 40%, to actually put women on the ticket, some of the men are going to have to stand aside.
Is there
and of course
an attitude,
that's going to cause a problem.
Regina, because what has come out in the study is they won't put women on the ticket against a male incumbent in a winnable seat. Is there an attitude that a woman going up against a man for election will lose?
Not necessarily. I mean, my experience, notwithstanding personally the last election, right, but every other election that I've contested, you put women on the ticket, they have as much of a chance in winnable seats to be elected, you know, because people in the main vote for people, not just because of political party policies, but for the personality and for the groundwork that we do. And that then feeds into the next problem on our list, is because women should be allowed to take maternity leave regardless of what our profession is. But because the profession of politics is so clientist based, you know, the public expect you to do the work. They expect you to drop the leaflets, to knock on the doors, to do all of the constituency reps. And that's the bread and butter of local politics and national politics. And if you're not there, then you go out of their mind's eye and somebody else might be,
so
you know, take the opportunity to come into it.
Do we need them to sort of, as it were, educate the public about the fact that if you're electing a female politician, she, like, you know, she may be a fantastic politician, a fantastic representative, but occasionally she may be missing an action for a number of weeks or months because of just the natural order of things?
I think we need to try and do two things: to make sure that the office continues to work around a politician, and in local politics where you don't have an office, to make sure that the party supports the lady while she's allowed to take her time off and bond with her child. But also I think we need to, you know, recognise that the value of what we give in politics, whether it's at local or national or European level, isn't just doing reps. You know, we all know that if you're not sitting at the table, that your views, your qualities, your emotions, your empathies to the particular topic that you might be discussing obviously can't be fed into that policy. So it's really important that women are at every table, at every level in the country, whether it's local, national or European politics, and right up to cabinet.
And lastly, and very briefly, just Regina, one of the barriers is the online abuse that particularly female politicians get. We've been talking about the online space in terms of riots over the weekend, etc. How bad is it for women? You know, what are you on the receiving end of as a female politician from social media?
It is horrendous, and it is getting worse. And maybe that's testament to the growing anger amongst people or their frustration. Women have the extra bit of abuse because of our female form and all of the derogatory language and all of the threats that are associated with being a woman. Now, it's bad for men, but there's that extra element for women. And you need to be around for many years to be thick-skinned enough to say it's water off a duck's back. But when stuff is so personal, it's not water off a duck's back. And women, by by their very nature are more emotional and more engaged and more empathetic, it's hard not to take that stuff in. And then obviously when it's violence and it's threats, then you have to go to the guards and that whole thing. And particularly when you have children, that's a whole other added, you know, element.
Yeah, no, and it's unacceptable. Look, thank you for highlighting that with us this morning. That is Regina Doherty there, Senator and former Minister for Social Protection.